Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, also known as Bright Lights Pathfinders, and this broadcast is Bridging Wisdom. I would like to thank Seth on sound as the engineer. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making this opportunity possible for us to be able to broadcast. I have been just kind of in awe over this next gentleman that's going to be on Bridging Wisdom next week. His name is Paul Del Roberts, and it is now headlined on the front page of BBS. We would love for you to call and have questions ready for him. So please search him out. I'm going to give you a little bit of information on him so that you will be ready for next week's show. And he also has so much information involved with this gentleman, Mr. Roberts, that we are going to have him on 2 weeks in a row. He is from California, and he has an associate degree in criminology. He has been a firefighter, but he said that that wasn't his cup of tea. I've had the pleasure of talking with Mr. Roberts on several occasions, and there's just so much to tell about him that mostly what he's doing now is in the paranormal field. He has gone to where Michael Jackson burned his hair with that Pepsi Cola commercial, and that's on YouTube. He does connecting to the people of the past. He also does a lot of work with, he's a profound dancer. He danced with the best of them, the Arthur Murray. He was in a lot of movies. He also holds the Ripley's, believe it or not, Guinness's Book of World Records due to a 205 hours to where they made a cartoon about him. He is an avid comic book. He would interview comic books, and he created Jazma, J-A-Z-M-A, online. Now, Mr. Roberts has published one comic book entitled The Legendary Dark Silhouette. I love that. It's so mysterious. He's so mysterious. There's so much to know about him. He's a paranormal investigator, number one. He's investigated over 400 investigations, and the articles are written within several documentaries. He's on the History Channel, and he also has an episode, the Mammoth episode, and the Conversations of the Serial Killer by 2 or 4 Productions. He is Showtime's Penn and Teller Bulltex, and also the Malayan Prophecies of 2012. He knows a lot of the mysteries of the angels and demons. He does a lot of exorcism. He also gets, he was telling me about a specific, very famous place that he was in just the other day where it was a 100-year-old house. It's just amazing the stories he can tell, because he is true blue. He's very, very gentle, loving spirit, but very hardcore with his work. He also does the haunted paranormals. He is a general manager of HPLParanormal.net, and his business partner is Shannon McCabe. You can find all this information up front and center right on BBS Radio's main page. That's www.bbsradio.com. Roberts writes community stories and does interviews with the Sacramento Press. He's a former columnist of the Haunted Times magazine. He's written small blurbs for Newsweek, Time, National Geographic, Traveler, and People magazine. Roberts is he's a columnist. He does everything. There's www.vamperatica.com/brainstormcomics. He's been in Writer's Digest, Webbound, and there's so much. Good gosh, I'm just like overwhelmed with this man. And he also has some of the most interesting friends on his Facebook page that one has drawn personally to me, which is it's a book, and it really touched home with me due to the fact that I do suffer from PTSD, where you all well know that I have 7 of the 7 PTSDs, but I did get a lot of help with what happened to me with that brutal beating and rape. But the Emus, E-M-M-A-U-S, Finding Emus. And it's a book. It's about, for the young and very old, it's described that you have no voice, you have no power. because the vulnerable people in our society that have any kind of mental illness, PTSD, whatever it is, are deemed to be worth a lot of abuse, which I have instowed in my lifetime just for getting help. It labeled me for going to the hospital and getting help, for people to use that against me. But now that's kind of settled out, and it's become to where, you know, my voice became well known here on broadcastings and the writings that I put out there in the World Wide Web. I did keep quiet for a very long time because all I knew to do was to keep quiet during that assault for 2 hours. And if I moved, I would get beat or choked harder and raped more. And, you know, so I learned to be very, very quiet. And afterwards, I learned to stay quiet for many years till I became an avid broadcaster, which is world known. And BBS services over 192 countries with up to 18 million listeners. And it's the fact that this woman, his name is Pamela Glaser, G-L-A-S-N-E-R. It is amazing what this book will transfold for you. That's called Finding E-M-M-A-U-S. Okay? She talks about the mentally ill back in the, you know, for 350 years, what has transpired. You can visit www.lodestarre.com. Let me repeat that, please, so that those that want to follow, it is www.lodestarre.com. And there you can read more about the first three chapters, actually. Now, it is profound that Pamela has offered that to the readers out there. And order a copy. If you know somebody that you love or somebody in your life that has had something mishap, whether it's mental illness from bipolar to PTSD to personality disorders, narcissistic behavior, whatever it is, by all means, please pick up one for books today. Now, I want to just share, I do not plan for my shows, as you all know. That takes the flavor out of the concoction. I want to say that understanding oneself is the utmost, first foremost of all things, that I had to understand me. I'm still understanding me in order for me to realize that what other people think of me is none of my business. What other people say about me is none of my business. But when they threaten me, that is my business. And it is my business when I'm threatened to go in the proper channels to make sure that that threat stops. I believe I have had enough abuse in my lifetime for 100,000 people. And what I've been through that we just won't go into. But that is all stopped now because I have learned about me. I want to share with you, whatever you speak out there, it's going to evolve back into you. So remember, what I've learned is that whatever I think in my head, in my heart, it's going to be. It's going to start taking a route into my neurotransmitters and firing in my synapses. So I have to stop. If anything does not feel kosher with me, if I feel uneasy about something, just stop it in its place and realize that whatever I speak out there, it will evolve back to me. And if it's something negative, then I need to remove it or pray about it. I want to say that the light is so bright out there. Everybody is a bright light. Everybody. I don't care who you are. And searching for that Pathfinder's way. I'm but one bright light. That's why it's plural. It has S's in it in my name. Bright Lights Pathfinders. Because I'm looking for any and all that want to get together and bridge some wisdom together. Because we are bridging wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. Everybody that speaks out and really feels a need or has a message out there, please don't hesitate to call in. The call-in numbers, Seth, are going to be open tonight. The switchboard is on the main page of BBS Radio. If you're listening and you have a story to tell or questions to ask, please do so. There's four call-in numbers there. You're listening to Station 1, Bridging Wisdom with Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook. Michael calls me to ask him. Michael's not with us tonight because he is saving up for his rest for a big airplane trip tomorrow. He will be here for a month. I can't wait. He is going to do a lot of R&R. I'm going to do a lot of R&R. He's going to help me with my house and help it get since the toxic mold and where I got moved out without even knowing I was moved out and lost most of my things. But I do have a few things that he's going to help me organize and transpose this house into a beautiful place to live. I don't have any pictures on the walls. I haven't unpacked at all, except for just living kind of out of a suitcase and my journals and my tapes. But that's another story, and it's okay because I've got help coming on the way. My daughter Ashley helps me a lot in a lot of many different things. I want to shout out to my son Jason. He's a doctor engineer, and he is a beautiful soul. He lives in Raleigh, and he is working on the outer belt loop that's going around Raleigh. He also has a degree in water and soil where he patented a sprinkler system. He didn't patent it. The school did. It was his senior project. He found how to measure the water in the soil for the sprinklers to come on instead of just a timer. I think that's profound, especially when you just graduate from college. Then he has a master's degree in Spanish. Now, he also did a lot of the test questions for the college. He was that profound with his knowings and knowledge of all things. He takes after my mother's side of the family, which are very German, which are very strong. I'm not pushing out that Germans, but that my mother's side of the family had intense geniuses on the side. And he gives me a run for my money with any kind of deep root conversation. I love you, Jason. Then I have a son, Matthew. Matthew just got married in April to Jackie. She went to school for being a criminal profiler. She ended up being in third grade as a third grade teacher because she just wanted to work with children. Matthew, my son, is a firefighter. He also works for my brother John at Factory Resources, which is just in the process of changing names from Factory Mattress Outlet. And Ashley, congratulations, darling, has now had her last day of work. She's going to be a stay-at-home mom with my grandchild that was born in February. So, and her husband, Colin, and are just thrilled about that. And I want to say hello to Julie, my girly, girly girl. I want y'all to check out anybody that's very interested in what's up and new in the news with women or even with men. Check out thedailyjulie.com. That is thedailyjulie, JULIE.com. She has some interesting tips of the most profound tips from hair to cooking. She literally cooks for you on YouTube's, and she puts together outfits that you would just for pennies. She tells about tips of, like, the other day I used one of her tips where for hair, and that was where you get out of the dryer, you wash your hair, and then you get out, or just hold your head out and towel dry it, and then go back in and put your cream rinse on, and then finish showering, and then rinse your hair off. My hair was the softest soft. It was beyond soft, and it almost aggravated me because it was so soft. My hair's like a little horse's tail, and that was amazing. She's got tips from here to yonder. Now, Colin, Ashley's husband, he works at Lexus. He is one of the managers that you will see when you drive your car in, and that's a little bit about my family. I just wanted to give a shout out to them because they make it possible for me to understand and love even more and more and more each day. I want to say also that we have to keep our side of the street clean, and the reason I'm saying that is that we have to make sure that our life is what we want it to be. Not what others want our life to be, but what we want it to be. Because there's only one place that is important, and that's, where are you going to go when you die? It is up to you of how you live this life, how you evolve into this life, now as to how you're going to get on the other side. Now, there's only one bridge, and the bridge is narrow. Very, very narrow. You can't pussyfoot around because you never know what's going to explode. You never know what's going to happen. You could just be, you know, walking across the street, split second, bam. You know, you just never know. So I just want to keep everybody a heads up and knowing that not only with messing with other people's computer systems to whatever they're doing, it's the thing that is important is you're going to have to pay for that on the other side. You just are. You can't play these games with other people. You can't play games with anyone. It's something that's taken the focus off of yourself. And if we all focus on ourselves first and foremost, focus on ourselves, because that is not conceited and that's not being self-centered. We have got to know ourselves inside and out, what makes us tick, what makes us our buttons be pushed, to be able to put it out there with the most genuine, undevoted love that you have for this world. If we could all come together and do that, we wouldn't have to all get together in a group and try to raise those frequencies and vibrations. We would have raised them by ourselves, because we would love ourselves so much that we only know love. We only know the power of love, and we know that whatever we do affects the other and affects the other. Because all I've said is 1 + 1 - 1 = 1, and we are all one. We are all one unity, one unit in this entire universe, and we have got to make sure that we are in sync with everything that we need to do with that, because, kiddos, you don't know what's on the other side, and believe you me, I go out there, as Michael has expressed to you guys, I go out there and I talk in my sleep. And I get all kinds of prophetic information by ways and means of communicating as soon as I fall asleep. I did a little intuitive on a friend of mine the other day, just briefly by phone. I don't give the message. The Holy Spirit gets the message for me. But she had just lost her father. And I gave her his name. And I gave her how he died. And I gave her how he was. His message was to tell her that he did not hurt when he died, because it was an accident, that he did not feel it, and he just went out there and he's gone, even though he lasted a day or so in the hospital. And he, for her to understand even more, I gave her the song. After we hung up the phone, I kept hearing the song, which was I Did It My Way. And she just told, it was just beautiful, because that's what she played at her father's funeral. And that was to let her know that it was authentic. And, you know, there was no way I could have known that information. I want to say a shout out to Jackie's Angels that was on broadcast last week, because she is putting together the most profound business to help others with, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's an elderly, whether it's just somebody needing to go to the store. She knows her medications. She's an assistant nurse. She helps others in so many ways. She's putting together a group that will be going all over Florida and around, that will be called Jackie's Angels. What is your niche? What do you like to do? And do you love what you are doing? Because if you don't, what happens? What happens? You get miserable, and you get miserable with other people. Gotta love what you do. Man, I love so much what I do that I almost have to really look at myself at the outside world, because I'm in this internet so much, sharing and reading and, you know, reading my stuff. And very rarely do I skim around to other people's work. But I'm going to start doing that, because it widens my understanding of what people have to share out there. I would have never found Mr. Roberts if I hadn't found him on Michael Goger's personal Facebook. And then looking in, I like to listen and listen to what people have on YouTube's and just voice their opinion on things, because that's what makes the world go round. How about everybody that does add somebody to Facebook, add the person, how about looking at their information on who they are? You know, make sure you put that information out there under information and work it. Work it good. Don't be silly and stupid to just get a group of people. And be very careful out there to add people that you don't know, unless you really seek out who they are. I've lost 5 Facebook accounts due to the bullcrap that goes out in that world. I don't know what in the world. Even my blogs. I remember listening to somebody on BBS Radio the other night where, yes, I do have those where I can't communicate with people on my blogs, because it's all about sex and all that junk out there, you know, that they put in the post. And it's hundreds of them. It's ridiculous and redundant that people can't get a life, that they can't leave people alone. There's something about it that evidently I caused the focus to be so hyper-focused on me. But that, my mother says, is a very high compliment, because I do have such a profound message to get out there. I do have such truth to put out there. I know that I was very truthfully, bluntly, honest to a fault yesterday. I want to apologize publicly to my mother, because I was rude and I disrespected my elder. I hollered at her when she didn't understand something that I was proclaiming to need, and she has always met my needs with me being disabled. you know, from my hip and thyroid cancer. She is the beautiful, wonderful woman, and I have a beautiful, wonderful family. I'd love to get back together with my brother John. He was my best friend growing up. He was profound with just, we have this speech that no one else can comprehend. He has a very protective spirit to him about when it comes to my mother, so he scolded me pretty hardly, and I took it as a threat because I was on P's and Q's, and I want to publicly apologize for that. Now, if I publicly let go of what I am holding in, okay, the reason I did that is I was a counselor for chemically dependent adolescents. There are 12 steps in that program, and I am sharing out there publicly my wrongdoings so that I can get cleansed with myself, because I do not know any other way or means but to expose myself to the rawest form. Now, sometimes things press on me, and it's a much-needed distant space that I go into. Now, I have written about this poem. It is called Something Is Pressing on Me, and it's the timeless ways of communication. And basically, that's what we're doing now. I wrote it back in 2006, so I'm going to read a little bit of this. It's pulled out of my box because I always hard copy mostly everything that I write, and want to just read a little bit of this. I think it's going to hit some home to a lot of people. So it says, the timeless waves, silence within the timeless waves of communication. Something is pressing on me. It was the distance from an all-needed space. It's the isolation of solitude. Now, what is the isolation of solitude? Is that not where we go into meditation? If we get solitude with isolation, and we isolate everything, and we just go in our heart and just say one thing. And I heard on a broadcast the other night that it takes 7 times to breathe and, you know, stay in the moment within your thoughts so that your thoughts don't wander. I don't know. I don't know how I did it, because I knew that something was out there when I was 1.5, and I have always been able to control my thoughts and mind like that. And if something comes up to me that keeps coming up to me, then that is when I pick up a stone or a rock, pretty much a boulder, the one that my Uncle Ronnie gave me, Mama's baby brother, Ronald Nordman, which is a profound, profound musician and a composer. He gave me a stone because I collect them from all over the world, but he brought me a big one. And I picked that rock up, and I put it in my lap, and I sit in the rock-in chair. Now, I analyze everything and put everything together with where it's supposed to go, categorizing it, because I'm so ADHD. But that's ironic, isn't it? The rock-in chair. But if you pick up a rock and sit in a rock-in chair or even in a seat and rock back and forth with that stone or that rock or whatever you decide to pick up, whether it's a book, something heavy, a maybe a saying, a flower, but I pick up the stone because the stone people are the oldest thing that has been on the face of this earth. Can you imagine what that stone knows and says and thinks? Because it's seen it all. But what I do is I contemplate on the specific situation or words that someone else has spoken to me that have affected me in a way. So I know that worry is like a rocking chair. It will get me nowhere. So if I sit and look inside that stone, even look at the lines that are in it, you know, and they do form different things. All stones have different lines and symbols inside of them. You just have to look for the exact thing that you're looking for. Now, I learned this from the Seneca Reservation grandmothers, where when I got there, I was in pretty bad shape. It was right after that brutal beating and rape. And this woman, Bridget Munn, she took me up there to heal. And she knew I had a lot of prophetic gifts, and I was scattered everywhere with them. But the grandmothers taught us to stay in one vicinity. Like Bridget's was herbs. There was a lady that made the dream catchers were made out of, you know, those old hair things that you used to put in your hair, looked like a yarn, those big old fat pieces of yarn. They would take a metal loop and loop that yarn around it to make the dream catchers or the medicine wheels or whatever, because that was the materials that they used back then, before that, you know, this rope came out. Excuse me. Now, what I did is we all sat in a group. We had different sections and different groups at that 12-sided lodge. And it's the one that's the biggest drum, actually, in the probably the world that I know of. But we beat that drum, and we beat that drum without stopping. for the heartbeat of Mother Earth. And it was amazing because when I first reawoke, now, I woke at age 1.5. I went around 4 years old, Alina, or Alina, how she put her name, but it was E-L-A-N-R-A. Now that I know that, but it's really three entities and it wasn't just one because I wondered why she split a lot. She was really huge and she was bright and I thought everybody saw her. And Mom always heard and Dad always heard me talk about her in my butterfly room that I had as a kid. But around age 4.5, Alina said, after she showed me the Wizard of Oz, okay, she showed me the old woman sitting in a rocking chair, which was Dorothy's aunt, you know, rocking back and forth. Now, isn't that ironic I'm bringing this up? You know I don't prepare, so let's see where this is going. Thank you, God. I would lay in at my head of my bed, had a window over it. You know, and it was back in the day when, and it's still in the day, where the air conditioning was far and few between, unless my mother and father had one of those window units. But we used the attic fan with a little, you know, with the window open. Now, they taught me not to open the window real wide. You open an attic to get the flow of the attic fan. The window should not be more than a foot. And my butterfly curtains would fly, and I could see every star. Y'all, oh my gosh, and can you imagine being that young? I moved into that house at age 4 from Magnolia and Haverford Place, Magnolia Avenue. And I'm going to tell you what, it's where my brother and I used to walk around and sing Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier. But then when we got over to Sharon V. Road at age 4.5, after staying with my Aunt Tilly while Mama moved us and Daddy, those butterflies really flew. And I have a master butterfly. We all do. And I call Don the master butterfly of BBS Radio. And I really feel that this station is the bridge. It is the bridge to the new world, the new way, the new age, the new way of thinking, because it's so profound. Now, I realize I am letting my spirit flow and talk. So just bear with whatever you get out of this message tonight is up to you. How you're going to apply it to your life. Now let me get back to laying in my bed. I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to be 4.5. And I'm just arching my neck and looking up at those stars. And I am connecting the dots literally with my little finger. I'm drawing out horses and dogs, umbrellas. The rocking chair that little old lady sat in was not drawn through the stars. She just kind of flew by the window. Now, the Wizard of Oz was not out yet. I'm 55. So that was 51.5 years ago. I don't believe the Wizard of Oz was out yet, unless I subliminally remembered it in my head. But what happened was my sister had shared a room with me, Susan, and she was called Twinkle by my grandfather. I was called Ikey or Kashiwaki. Now, Susan was Twinkle's aunt because her eyes were so big and bright, and they still are. And she is just the twinkling star in our light, in our heart. And he called her Twinkle. And he taught us, Granddaddy taught us how to wish upon a star at the brightest star. It didn't matter which star we chose, as long as we knew that and believed in our heart that those wishes were going to come true. Now, I believed and dreamed with all my heart at that age. I'd sit on Susan's bed to see the different section of stars. I saw the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, but I didn't know what that was. I saw the North Star, but it was so bright, I didn't know what that was. I saw the little red dot of Mars, but I didn't know what that was. So all I know is Alina was around me, and it was like an angel. And I would talk to Alina all the time, but Alina told me I came from the star. I was like, okay, you know, I was just so little. She just said, "You, this is your home. You're on the other side of those stars." And she says, but after so many years of being with me and following me and sharing with me, when I went to preschool, she told me the night that I got my very first spanking. Let me tell you why, guys. I had gone to preschool. And I did not know anybody. And I was a very, very, very shy type person. But I was very bold, face, bluntly, honest to a fault even back then. Nobody was going to make fun of me, and nobody was going to tell me anything, but I would relate whatever a person said to an action. I kind of did like a play skit. Well, there was some monkey bars there, and I was so engrossed over the monkey bars. This was on Providence Road in Sharon Amity. It was a Methodist church, and most of us met there at East Mecklenburg High School that are my high school buddies now. Laura Sinclair Manning was one of my best friends back then. I mean, we just had so many people out there. But anyway, I want to just tell you what happened. Miss Oshry, that was her name. She had me get on the monkey bars because I really wanted to do the seesaw. But I had a dress on. It was checkered. It had a little sash to it and had a little bird on it. So I thought, I'm a little bird. I'm going to go fly on those monkey bars. And I hung upside down. Well, William Trotter, he said, I can see your underwear. I can see your underwear. And so I started singing and swinging back and forth. It's the underwear show. The underwear show. Well, what happened was Miss Oshry took that as I was showing my underwear. She didn't hear the guy say that, Mr. Walker say that I had showed my underwear. All I knew is when I got home for the very first time in my life, my dad was ashamed of me. And shame is placed upon, okay? Guilt is something we inflict in ourselves. But I was told he was ashamed of me. Now, I barely understood it. He set me on his lap. He held me and hugged me closely. He was a very comforting daddy. But he says, I'm ashamed of you for showing your underwear and having an underwear show. And I cried and cried and cried and cried. And that night, Alina told me, she said, I have got to go now. You have got to learn life. Basically, I'm going to put it into adult words. Live life on life's terms. But I will be back someday. You're going to forget about me. You're going to forget about all the things that we saw in the stars. You're going to forget about all that until it's time, and you will remember by 11/11. And I said, what's an 11/11? She, all I thought was my birthday was 2/11, you know, and 56. And a 1 plus 1 I had learned in preschool was, you know, 1 equals 2. And all I saw was that 2 was a 1/1 and that my birthday was a 1/1. So she'd be back someday on my birthday. I hope y'all are following along. Anybody that's not listening, you're going to have to listen to this archive because it's going to be a good one. And you can find that at bbsradio.com, and you could look up Bridging Wisdom, or you can look up Bright Lights Pathfinders, and this is July 5th, 2011. It's very important to keep a timeline just due to the fact of just this memory I'm sharing with you guys right now because I, when in 1992, was with my friend Pete Koch, and we were at college. And we went downtown to see this new building be built. And we took, the thing like we were inspectors so we could get up in there. And we took, and it was during the break at our, he was in a political science. He was going to be, you know, money overseas and stuff. And I was into human services, but computers, banking, real estate, you name it, I did it. To make a long story short, Pete and I went downtown, and I kept taking a picture of the very first digital clock. The digital clock came out, I can tell you guys, in 1990-91, because that's when I took the picture of the 11/11 digital clock. It had one little light burned out of it. But I took that picture, I couldn't stop. And Pete said, why are you taking 11/11? I said, it's embedded in me, I don't know. So later on that day, we ended up at the Central Sun. Okay? Excuse me. The Central Sun happened to be just like a new age place. And it was scary for me because I was told by my family, the strong, strict Southern Baptist, beware of new age. You know, it was embedded in me. Like, and I was like, oh, Pete, I'm not supposed to be in here. You know, like that. And he goes, girl, he says, get off your bad self. He says, you all up in that stuff. He says, the way you talk and write and tell me what's going on and then it happens and what you see in your dreams, you're all up in this stuff. He says, that's why I'm bringing you here to the Central Sun. Lo and behold, what was there? What was on the shelf? But a white, solid white book that just caught my eye. Pete was all into the angel things and stuff like that. And I said, Pete, look at this. It said 11/11. 11, dot, dot, 11, like a time clock. Right on the edge of it in gold. We pulled it out, and sure enough, it was an 11/11 with a freaking pyramid and a circle around it. With 11/11 in the center. I bought that book, and they only made 100 and something of those copies. But I never read that book except for one part of it. One little place, and that was about crop circles, and one little place about Orion. That this 11-11 was Orion's healing time, because 11-11 was the brightest star. Orion's in the you know, that's twinkle, twinkle. And what I'm getting at is Orion is surrounded in a belt. You know, he's got the seven sisters around him. And that goes to that weird story that I wrote about the knowledge tree, or the knowing tree, or the wisdom tree, or something like that. Just search it in the internet, bridging wisdom and tree. Just put in bridging wisdom and then the word tree. You can put in any word behind Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy L. Cook, bridging wisdom, you know, and find any and all. I've got hundreds of millions of things out there because I just didn't know where to put them. You know, I wanted to share them, but I didn't know how. That's why I'm scattered so many different names and stuff, because I did not know and understand. But what is cash? C-A-C-H-E, that my grandfather called me. He told me I had the key, and my mother told me I had the key. But cash is where, early in the internet, that's where you click, get the back stuff that people have deleted. I mean, if you delete something, guys, I'm give you a heads up. You better write something in that space. And then delete it again, because if you delete, then people can hit cached and pick up any and all things that past link had in it, even if it's gone, if you click on just the regular link. Now, that blew my mind. Somebody named a Master Butterfly taught me that. He said that was past stuff, which I didn't even know. What I want to get at, too, is that everybody has the key. We don't just one have the key. We all have the key. We've got to turn it at the same time. Simultaneously, it's just like I've said many times with that old fine-tuned radio dial. What do you do with it? The radio dial does what? It gets the frequency exactly with the whatever you're still going for. Like I say, like with that lady that I told about her father and the song and how he died. And he just died in March. But what's ironic about that? Let me bring you back to that. Let me rewind. Excuse me. I have to rewind my brain. Okay. Her father's birthday was February. And I'm not going to give you, it was February 1. And her father's death was March 3rd. And I had told her previously that my dad was around her. I could feel him because he passed in 2005. Well, my dad's birthday is February the 13th. And he died on March the 13th. Now, if you take her February, which is a 2, which is a 1-1, plus the 1, that's a 3, right? But it's February the 13th, it's a 13. If you add it up with the date and times and all that stuff, but if you look at the death, which was a 3rd, that's a 3-3. So that is the 3-3-3. She's got a 3-3-3 all around her. Because of February 1 is a 3, and then he died on March 3rd, there's a 3-3. That's a 3-3-3. Do you look up in the internet? I kid you not. You search Daddy's Legacy 3-3-3, or put in Bright Lights with an S, Pathfinders with an S, 3-3-3. Or Bridging Wisdom, I'm sure, has got it tagged to it too, 3-3-3. Well, that 3-3-3 is some kind of code that I failed math, had to go to a tutor. I don't know how to do math, but I somehow got that math out there. It is the most profound formula you ever seen. So what I'm figuring here is that they're preparing us on the other side to get ready for something big, because Daddy's speaking. And when Daddy speaks, I listen. Because he told me growing up, he said, you're not going to listen, but he'd use that negative reinforcement. He said, I was a very avid gymnastics made, you know, and did ran on the boys' track team, and very athletic. And I even danced with in New York with the Rockettes at age 12. I went and worked with them. I mean, I am a dancer from here yonder to kingdom come. I got some kind of rhythm, girl, boys. But what I'm getting at is that, Daddy said to me, I shredded with both hamstrings in the backs of my legs from not taking care of them and stretching them before I did a meet, or before I did some dancing, or before I would get on my horse. I just didn't. I didn't know to. Back then, you just didn't know to stretch. And it shredded my hamstrings. And what happened was, I got on my horse right when I got both casts on my legs. Had to learn to walk all over again. Didn't know how to walk. I was in the hospital forever and a day. I was getting married in June, and in May, the doctor told me that my legs were going to be amputated, my right leg, because it had staph in it so intensely. And it was because I got on my horse, Fair Lady, because I couldn't stand it, because she was my magic. And I hadn't ridden her in a couple of weeks, and I jumped on her with those Velcro casts. Got a hair down in the incision, which is a big S shape. I've got these huge scars on the backs of my legs. Anyway, the doctor took the black-handled scissors and poked it into my leg and busted it open, and all this green stuff came out. It was full staph. So they irrigated my leg with a Kelflex 3 and 4 times a day. They'd fill the whole bag like an IV bag up in there, and then they'd smush it out. You talking about pain? That's how I learned to disassociate from myself. That's how I learned to get out of my body. That's how I learned to go out there. And that's how I know I can control when to go out there and when to come back, because I use an umbilical cord to keep me attached. But when they took the stitch out, when they would pull that suction cup out, it felt like my entire body and leg would go through that bed and through the floor into the depths core of the earth, because they sucked it out with a syringe. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is my old preacher came to see me, old preacher Dr. John Potter. He came to see me at the hospital the night before, and they had prepped my leg to be removed. They had prepped me for surgery. They had notified the family. And it was the only way to save my life. I did not worry. I did not fret because of one reason. I knew it was going to be okay. I knew it in my heart. And Dr. Potter, he said to me, very nonchalantly, and I've repeated this story before on broadcast, but this has to go with the butterflies and the stars and all that stuff and Daddy and Lena. He said, do you believe? Do you want to keep your leg, Kathy? And I said, well, of course I do, Dr. Potter. You know, it was kind of odd because he'd never sat down with me before. It was very reverent. I was, it was May the 23rd, and it was 1975. And I was to get married on June the 21st, 1975. And he said, it's simple. It was 5 till 12 at night when he came to visit me. Now you tell me why, ironically, it was one night before I was going to have that surgery on the 24th. He says, do you want it? Do you want to keep your leg? And I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, it's simple. And his hand was kind of leaning on his cheek, you know, and his thumb was underneath his chin. And he just looked at me, and the other hand was kind of, you know, sitting on his waist, but not. And he goes, all you got to do is tell God. He says, you tell God and just say it one time and believe it. You don't have to keep saying it over and over. He says, you just give it to him. You tell God, if you spare my leg and heal me, then you dedicate, Kathy, your life to God. You tell him that. You tell him that. That if he does for you, you're going to do for him. And do you know what? Do you know what happened? I said it. I said, yes, sir. And that's all he said. And he got up and left. And that was 12 o'clock by the time he left. Exactly. Because I remember seeing the clock. And I went to bed, closed my eyes. I was already prepped for surgery. They'd already given me my little sleeping thing. I said, God, if you do for me, I'll do for you. Period. The next morning they came to get me at 7 o'clock in the morning. Marty, my ex-husband, and his mom and dad Cook, Bibby and Pawpaw, and my mom, Mimi and Pawpaw, Shirley and Walton Hill, were standing in the hallway crying so hard. Oh, because they knew that I was going to go down that aisle no matter what, even if it was in a wheelchair. I was going to get married. Because when I met Marty, I said, that's the man I'm going to marry, and I just knew it. I don't know why I met him at the Yellow Rose. But anyway, to make a long story short, I'm going to get back to the situation. They pulled the covers back. They had the gurney there. The doctors looked so solemn. And I said, what's wrong with everybody? You know, that's what I thought, my thoughts. And they had kind of razor burned me where they had shaved me to get me prepped. And they had all that iodine, betadine all over me. It was all still on my sheet. They pulled the sheets back to get ready to pick me up. Young men and women, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I kid you not. Kid you not, my leg was totally 100% healed. no staff, all the way down, even the incision where they stuck it in and irrigated it was closed. I went from 105 to 106 fever down to a 97.6 within, what, 7 hours? That goes to show you the power of believing and the power of knowing and the power of staying on your path. Because I am not just about the path. I become the path. I have become the path. I am the path. I respect reverently, reverently. The wrath can be so strong of the Holy Spirit because it says in Proverbs 3:1, to know the Lord is the first gain of wisdom. And to fear the Lord is the first gain of wisdom. Because think about it. For everybody wants to tear the Bible and everything apart. And I'm not a Bible thumper. I am about all non-religion and religions, as long as it's of love. But I'm just sharing this story because this was my walk. And I thought, why would anybody want to be around somebody, a God, that is to be feared? Because I thought I was here to conquer fear. That's what I'm here to conquer. That's what I know. That's what I'm fixing to tell you. Now, what is fear? Fear of the unknown, fear of what's going to happen. I'm going to come back to that. Just hold that thought about fear and God. I got married, okay? And I walked down the aisle with stiff-ass legs because I still had to learn to walk. And I wore my mother's wedding dress, but I got married to Marty Cook. My mother got picked out all the people that were going to be in the wedding. She picked out my china. She picked out everything I was going to have. She even picked out where I was going to live because that's how my mother still works to this day. And I'll let her because she needs that. And I love her dearly for it. But I'll buck her sometimes if I want to be in control. But Mama's the only one I'll let do that. Now, Daddy said to me, because I would not sit down at the reception because I was greeting people. He said, if you don't sit down, you want a wooden leg or an iron leg? I said, I want an iron leg. I was being so cocky. What happened? What happened? I spoke that out, right? I want an iron leg. Now, what happened? From the brutal beating and rape, I caught pneumonia. They had to give me stress pneumonia. I had 32% oxygen to my blood. They had to give me steroids. What happened? I got a vascular necrosis. What happened? I got a steel leg. I had got a steel leg in that leg that was infected. It's what you speak is going to evolve. I kid you not. Unless you take it back and pray, God, forgive me. God, take this away. And for anybody and everybody, forgive yourself first. Go to others and ask forgiveness, which I publicly asked my mother. And yes, you very well heard earlier in this broadcast. I publicly announced I am sorry from here on out of the disrespect that I have had for her and for using my voice like this towards her when I've been on radio or I've been broadcasting. Because she doesn't understand that my voice goes back and forth and she's 77 years old. And I am very sorry because I don't need to use that kind of voice towards anybody but when I'm trying to get a point across. That's just me, though. And Mama needs to know that. The reason I'm saying that is that, okay, let's sum this whole thing up because we've got a few minutes left. Speak it. It's going to happen. Look for the stars. You know that that's where you come from because Alina left me, but Alina's right back here now. El is the God of heaven. An is the God of, I don't remember, but look it up. An, the God of An. Ra is the sun god. What is that? Telling you, everybody. Now I've got 2 minutes left and 3 minutes left before they get another program on the air. I don't even know what I said. I'm going to have to listen to my broadcast to comprehend it. But I know God spoke through me because I always allow that. Because if I ask God to speak for me, do for me, act for me, feel for me, be for me, in all ways, shapes, and forms, remove all people, places, and things of my life that are not of His will, and bring into people, places, and things into my life that are of His will. With that, I want to God bless each and every one. Next week, tomorrow, Michael's going to be here, the love of my life, which I cannot wait. And we are off the air. I love you guys. Bye-bye. Reaching Wisdom.